Welcome to the National Federation of the Blind's 2025 Senior Retreat, a time for empowerment, connection and growth. A special thanks to Janie Degenshain, Zoom administrator, and her team for a seamless retreat. Your dedication makes this event possible. Thank you for joining us on this journey.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden, in the shade.
Would be warm below the storm, in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave.
Thank you, Judy. Good afternoon, everyone. And for this hour, we are going to learn about America's number one hobby. And that means it's the most popular hobby in America, and that it happens to be gardening. And we have a person with us who can tell us more about gardening non-visually than you can shake a stick at. So Diane Hemphill is here, and Diane, welcome, and please come along and tell us what you know.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, I live in Kansas, and right now it is, for me, just starting to think about spring gardening. It's 3 below zero. Wind chills overnight was like 20 below, but crazy weather in Kansas. Next week, we are in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So earlier today, I was zipping through TV, and QVC was starting to roll out their flowers and vegetables and shrubs, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so tempted. I buy. So there's wanted to talk to you a little bit about how I got started into gardening. Even though I have always lived in Kansas, it's a very rural state, I have always lived in the suburbs.
What would you like to say, Teresa?
My husband, though, grew up on a farm, but it was huge. It was a huge farm. And he was quite willing to give up.
Diane, if we can stop you a second, we need to ask everyone to mute, please. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll give it a try again. Anyway, like I said, my husband was the real farmer, but he did not necessarily enjoy what I would say gardening, because he was used to, you know, huge equipment and hundreds of acres and all that kind of stuff. And that was like overwhelming to me. And our home, our suburban home, just had small spaces. I always planted a few flowers, but nothing too demanding, because we also, you know, were raising children. We had 3 children and a couple of cats, and we both worked and cooked and cleaned and went back to get a master's degree. And so we were always pretty busy, but I've always loved plants and flowers. And so as our years have gone on, I'm always very, very active, too. I love to go out and do things with a physical fitness type of edge. So, of course, when the pandemic hits a few years back, I am just trying to think about what I can do to kind of steady my nerves and get outside. I tend to need a reason to get outside and do something that would be kind of fun. And so this is a time that all around the country, actually, people were starting to think about doing some gardening. Now, I live in a patio home, and so we're fairly close together. The houses are very close. They call it a 6-0. So in between the houses is 6 feet. And so on one side, that is my neighbor's 6 foot area, walking area, and on the other side is my 6 foot, which I can then follow the edge of my house to the end of my house into my rather compact or smallish backyard, which actually works out just great for me because I don't want anything really big. I am 75, so I'm a senior, and I don't necessarily want, you know, I couldn't depend on what I grow to feed myself for very long, but I do enjoy, I found that I really enjoy growing plants and herbs and vegetables and flowers. And so this has been kind of a growing hobby for me. And I had to learn, you know, what to do. And then I had to learn how to kind of do it with my super duper low vision. I used to have 2200, which some of you may be aware that that's considered legally blind, but now I'm down to like light perception. And so over the years, I have adapted techniques on ways that work for me, but also listening to groups like what you were doing today, sharing ideas and techniques and different assistive technologies that are out there for us that we might not know about and whether they're going to work for us and how they work for others. So that's kind of, mine has been kind of a hit and miss trying to learn, but I have just enjoyed it so much. And what I have also have to keep in mind is like I said earlier, I really need a reason to go outside. I'm not one of those that just goes out and wants to sit on the deck or the patio or whatever. I really want to do something. So this worked out really well when I decided I was going to start very small. I ordered some rather large container pots and some soil and got some advice on some flowers. So I started very small, and that's what I would recommend anyone who's starting in this area to kind of figure it out, you know, like don't overwhelm yourself. You might start with like 2 flowers and maybe 1 vegetable and maybe 1 fruit. And in fact, this morning, since the pandemic, one other thing I've been doing for the last few years is I have volunteered with like 2 seniors a year working on beginning Braille skills. And I never really thought about doing that because I'm not a certified Braille instructor. But I love working with people, and this was another area where I felt like I could reach out and assist people. So I had called in to my Braille student this morning who lives in New Jersey, and we really kind of, we've been working together for quite a long time, but we kind of focused on talking about gardening because I told her I was going to be doing this afternoon. And we are in the same growing zone, grown 6B, which seems very interesting. Since she's in New Jersey and I am in Kansas, one of the main differences is we have a lot more wind, so we have to always take that in consideration. But she already planned, like she's getting ready to think about growing a couple things this year. She has gone totally blind, and she has some other health issues, so those are things you have to take in consideration also. And but she says she was going to grow a tomato and some kale and some basil. And so we talked about how, you know, you might do that starting with just you need the biggest pots that you can buy and the best soil, mixing really good soil. Soil is a key to so much. You need to feed these things. And then the placement for the sun and the water and those kinds of things. So she's going to give it a try, too. And she has just been totally blind for a couple of years and wants to get back to trying this also. Because before she went blind, she loved flowers. And the last thing that her husband gave her before he passed away was a beautiful yellow rose bush. And unfortunately, that did die, and her son planted her another one. Now, I would love to do a rose bush, but this is some of the considerations you need to think about. I would love a rose bush simply because they smell so beautiful, and the roses themselves are so soft, and they feel so velvety until you touch the stem. And, you know, of course, they have all those thorns. So every year I think about buying a rose bush, but then I decide not to because I don't want to deal with the thorns. And so those are some of the things that when we are doing things non-visually or with very limited sight, you have to think about things about not just, like, before I could see, for example, some of you I'm sure could see before you started losing your vision. You might not even think about, oh, I've got to touch these things to know what I'm doing. And to work with roses, that's just too dangerous for me. I do everything without gloves because I need that tactile feedback. And even though that would protect your hands, perhaps, I wouldn't necessarily know what I was doing if I needed to cut things back or if there was some disease growing on the plant. So this is a very full body experience when you get into gardening. It really encourages me to stay as healthy as I can, as strong as I can, because getting down to garden, and not only getting down, you got to get up. you got to stay strong and limber or work up to it. Or some of the other options, if that is not a possibility at all, are containers or growing beds that are, you know, waist high or bigger, so that you could garden either sitting in a chair or on a garden bench or on a something that's, or standing even, depending on how high you get it. So there's all kinds of options, but you have to kind of think through where do you have to plant things and what are the restrictive things that you really have to work within. Fortunately, my fairly small backyard is on the south side of my house. So it's also fairly uneven, the ground, but I know that because I've lived here now for 7 years.
Wow.
So I can, like, go out wow. my side door and follow my house down to the end, and if I want to go to one flower bed, which is at the end of my yard, on the left side of my yard is a fence that I can follow down to that flower bed and work on that. Or if I come to the end of my edge of my house, when I come out that door, that side door, I can turn right and I have a container. And if I go further, then I have three raised garden beds. They are each 3x3. So it's I have them bumped up together. So it's some raised beds that are 3 foot wide and 9 foot long. Now, these are very fairly low. They range from 6 inches off the ground to 15 or 16 inches. So a lot of the things that I'm doing, I need to get down on my knees, which I fortunately can do. I haven't had any knee replacements or hip replacements or anything, but I still want to protect my knees. So for a while, I was using like yoga blocks. I mean, there's lots of things you could use. You can look around your house and see what you have to kind of help your knees, protect your knees. But my sister bought me this garden bench for my birthday this last year, and I just love it. I can turn it on. You can turn it on one end, and you kneel down and rest your knees, and that will protect your knees. And then it has the handles can help you push yourself up.
Diane,
you flip around.
I'm going to interrupt you again. We need someone who has to mute. I guess they're not going to
feel a blessing.
Uh-oh. Are they listening to a movie or something?
Somebody needs to be muted.
Okay. I think they did it. I think they did it. Nope. Should I go ahead?
Okay. Yes, go ahead. It's just a little... Okay.
Yeah, I think that someone had their TV
Gary,
on.
Gary, if you can figure out who besides Diane, everyone else should be muted. Can you mute them, please? Okay, maybe. No. And we can't get Jerry to do it either, I guess. Go ahead, Diane. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just do the best we can. We've had some challenges today, but that's kind of life, isn't it? trying to figure out how to make things work the best we can. So anyway, you might have more going on than just your vision loss. And so exploring the options, and there are so many options out there now with your different container options, or if you can actually dig in your yard and plant seeds or plants, or you have raised garden beds. So you need to consider what your options are, and if that is something you can physically accomplish, and then that you can just know that you are going to need to use your other senses besides just depending on your vision. If you used to have pretty good usable vision, this is when you need to start exploring, using your senses of smell or in touch. Gardening can be very, very much a hands-on type of project. If you once dug in the soil with a long handled shovel, that might not work for you now. I wouldn't know what I was doing, what I was digging up. But my containers are smaller. My raised bed is smaller. So I get down and I just use hand tools, like the small shovels, the small rakes. And I, with one hand, I might be using that. With the other hand, I am touching or feeling the soil or the flower bed. And you will get acquainted with where your plants are and the feel of them and the difference between your plants and the weeds, for example. Or if you're putting in a new plant and you've decided where you want it, you could put it in, dig it in, put it in where you want, and then to protect it, you might even put something around it. And that could be something as simple as taking a plastic disposable cup, a Dixie cup, and cutting down the sides to open it up and then cutting out the bottom. So when the bottom is out, then it will automatically go back to that circular size, and then you can put that over your little plant to protect it while it's getting its roots established. And then, making sure you water it and don't pull it in. And I have pulled my probably more than my quota of nice plants, and I'm, oh man, doggone it. I thought it got mixed up with a weed, but that's part of the whole deal. It's just not always going to go perfect. Everything is going to be, it is a trial and error, just like many things that we do. But once you give yourself a little bit of grace to, make some mistakes, that's okay. I figure my garden is more of, helping with anxiety, stress. I just get, and it's, I find joy in doing it, which I think is very interesting because most of my life I was not involved in gardening. Like I said earlier, I was a mother and wife, had, you know, three children, took care of the house and all the cooking and cleaning. And I did a little gardening. I used to do a little, you know, some marigolds and some bulbs like tulips and daylilies or lilacs. That very little care needed. And I also planted some trees. I always liked something, but I didn't have a lot of time. And then when I was working, I worked in an, I ran a business for 10 years, and then I became a VR counselor, and then 10 years in administration in folk rehab. So for 20 years, I wore a suit and heels every day. And when I was done for the day, I really didn't want to do anything in the lawn necessarily. We had a pool at that time, so I'd come home and swim or something like that. But if we had some flowers, my husband helped with those, or sometimes I did a little bit. But I really wasn't into it very much until more recently. So it's not like I have had a lifelong experience with this. the gardening projects that I've taken on, but I've always grown like plants in the house, and I have grown some things outdoors, but not much. And it's just kind of taken off over the last 5 years. So some of the things that I consider now, because my vision is so, so low, but yet I enjoy the whole process of the gardening experience. And I also enjoy that my neighbors love to see what I'm growing, because none of them really have a green thumb, and they don't put that much into it, but they really enjoy to see what I am doing and how I'm growing. Because 5 years ago, I tell you what, it was nothing to brag about. But now I have one of the most beautiful yards, I believe, because that's what my neighbors tell me, and some of my friends, because I have, you know, develop my soil, I try new plants, and I see some things. So I try to pick out, let's say flowers, for example, contrast that is good for me when I get close. And that would be something like whites or bright yellows. I mean, really sunny, beautiful colors. But also, I love to plant things that smell good. And so I honestly start out with kind of a aromatherapy type of garden, with like basil and lavender and sage. I mean, also they have different textures, and that's fun. You will get, you know, if you will touch your plants and get to know them, they all have a little different feel, and growing, how they grow is going to be a little bit, I mean, quite a bit different. You have a lot of variety. And they will smell different, from really wonderful to not so good. Like marigolds are beautiful and bright and yellow and orange, but they smell horrible. But they are really good when you plant them with some of your vegetables. Like they're really good with tomatoes because they keep bugs and stuff away from your plants. So that's there's right. Some companion planting that you might take in consideration, or your basil is also really good with your tomatoes, and it smells so good because tomato plants don't really smell that good either. But the last 2 years, I've had great luck with my tomatoes, and I only plant a couple of plants that I got probably 50, 60 tomatoes, and they're pretty good sized tomatoes off of each plant. Now, 3 years ago, I had a horrible harvest, and when I talked to the guy at the garden store, I said, oh, my gosh, I had a horrible year with my tomatoes. And he says, well, everyone did. It was just too hot and windy in Kansas that year. And it was so, I mean, things will happen, and it's not just because you're blind. It's because of the weather and other things that are going on. So it is, I mean, you know, the farmers sometimes have good yields and sometimes they don't. And that is just part of gardening too. I mean, you want it to turn out. And this last 2 years, I've had like amazing garden. In my area that I live in, I live in a smaller community, 25 to 30,000, but they always, each year, will vote on neighborhoods that are the most beautiful, and our neighborhood has been the most beautiful in the last 2 years, and honestly, I think I have some pretty amazing front gardens, but not even as pretty as my back gardens, which I don't even look at, so. Anyway, I want to open it up for some questions because you might have.
We have two hands raised. Deb?
I could just rattle on.
Deb, you have your hand raised? Deb's iPhone?
This is Deb. Lower my hand for me, please.
You've got it. Is that you, Deborah?
Yes.
Okay, what
it's
did you
stuck.
Want to say?
It's what? Stuck. My hand is stuck.
No,
up
that's
there.
All right. Oh, so you didn't have anything you wanted to say?
No, I'm just really enjoying this. And
okay. No, that's fine.
And I have a gangrene.
203.
Okay, Deborah, don't worry about your raised hand. If Jerry
we'll
can
lower
a way to lower it for you, he will.
We have an area code 203. Is that Joe?
No, that's Jim. Can you hear me?
Jim. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, thank you. I got a question. I have house plants. I got two of them. One's called a mass plant. It comes up about 3 feet, 4 feet high, and so it's got big, broad leaves. But it had some leaves that just turned at the base brown. They just dried up and shriveled up on me. I thought maybe I was overwatering them. I water them once a week, and or I thought that I wasn't doing enough in the way of putting fertilizer in there. So I had some Miracle-Gro. I started putting that in with the water, and I don't seem to be having that. What causes the leaves to turn brown? Is not too much water, not enough vitamins and the minerals, or what?
Oh, honestly, I'm sorry. I could not answer that. I am not a expert in that area of telling you what, has gone wrong. I would probably study, go on and watch some YouTube videos, perhaps, or look something up on Google, or call your local extension office. I'm just a
garden variety gardener.
Garden variety.
I'm a little bit better than the gangrene. Yeah, that's a good one. I had never heard that one before. I'm sorry, I can't answer that question.
It's okay. But I do hug my my plants. I love them and I show them.
Oh, that's fantastic. I do too. It's like they can just breathe into you and you into them, like this zen thing. So, yeah.
This is Glenn Crosby.
And that's what counts. Thank you.
This is Glenn Crosby.
Hi, Glenn.
Yeah, Jim, I would suggest that before you start watering, stick your fingers down in that dirt a little bit and see if it's still damp. And if it is, you might wait a while to water.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Glenn.
Okay. So if you want to start, even if you have what you call your, your black thumb or whatever, it's okay to keep trying because this is a learning experience oftentimes, and you might ask your garden store, like, what's the easiest thing to grow? And I have a lot of sun on the south. I have a shaded area that I, need something for that. Because your garden centers, man, they love plants too. They want to help you have a beautiful garden because they are plant lovers and they can't wait to help you find the right thing. But find out how high it's going to grow, how much water, And, you know, how much time are you willing to put into it? I have overhead sprinkler system, and I have in-ground watering also, which is good because we're in a pretty big drought here in my part of Kansas. So that is saving things right now. But some things don't like a lot of water coming down from overhead. So your local nursery people are just invaluable in helping you pick the right plants for your area. I had a friend who came from California a few years ago, and she said, everything I planted died. And I said, that is crazy what happened. She says, well, she had all her favorite plants that she loved in California, and she planted them here in Kansas. And, you know, maybe that doesn't work. You know, going to your local center, they will help you find the plants that work really good in your area. But then that's up to you to find out, do you really want to put this much work into it? What I discovered this last year, I love the spring when the weather is, you know, not horribly hot. And I love the planting, and I love the harvesting. So I love to do the early spring, the lettuces, the kale, the beets. I had really good fortune with beets. They're really, really yummy. And those kind of things. But once they will not grow when it gets really, really hot, and we get super hot here in Kansas. So, and I don't really like to be out in the hot weather either, so as much as maybe some things need. So other than my tomatoes and my herbs, I filled my boxes with flowers, and they were happy, low maintenance, and beautiful. So, you know, I'm just saying that I think they're beautiful. Everybody told me they're beautiful. But you might start small if you've not gardened before. And I thought it was very cool that my Braille student said, yeah, she's going to get back into it, and she's going to get two pots, two containers, and do, you know, do a basil, tomato, and kale. Kale is pretty easy to grow too, and beautiful. All my sighted neighbors, I'm the only one around here who can't see, you know, there's probably some that don't see very good, but they aren't, you know, going to admit it or something at this point. But
we have a hand raised.
Yeah, Musi.
First of all, you have a wonderful speaking voice, and this is, Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, I can hear you.
Yeah, I love it. But I have a question. Have you planted bulbs, you know, to come up in the spring? And I tried it, but I forgot where they were planted. I mean, in the area. How do you mark them so you know what, if it comes up or not?
Yeah. Okay, this is my challenge this year. I'm not very good. I planted 100 tulips and, you know, different spring bulbs last year.
Oh.
Some here, and then I ran out of space, so then I went over to my mom's and planted some. And my neighbor's like, oh, my gosh, when did you plant those? You know, and you have to wait till it gets kind of cool in the fall.
Right.
So sometimes I'm doing it in December. Mm-hmm. But I have just a small area in the front that I plant them in. So, I mean, it's not that hard for me to find them.
Okay.
This year I'm going to try to do better. You know, I'm going to do, they always say to plan and do your layout and this and that, but that doesn't work for me with just like a paper and pen because I can't see it that well. But I was trying to think of some creative ways to do a planned layout. So I was thinking of like taping pipe cleaners on a sheet of cardboard, for example, or getting what they call puff paint, which is kind of raised liquid plastic, I think, and then it will dry, where you could you can make a design that's tactile. You know, and then say you have some vision, you could use your Sharpies, and then make zigzags. That's going to be where your tulips are going to be in this mm-hmm. bed that you're trying to mm-hmm. put next year, for example. Mm-hmm. Or if you can't see, I heard something the other day on the senior call in, was it Michigan? It was in Judy Sanders' area. And that was really interesting. They talked about a
Minnesota
tape. Oh, Minnesota. Yeah, thank you. Minnesota. I love to call into these, even though I've been doing things in different areas for a long time. You always learn new stuff. So anyway, someone talked about this cement tape, and it's what they put on the edges of your steps, your cement steps, mm-hmm. to give it a texture for people to visually, if you can see it, that'll help. But if you're not, it's like tactually, this is the edge of your step. But it, you can cut it, and then you can, it has a sticky side that you can put. So there are different things. Oh, you could use popsicle sticks, mm-hmm. you know, to kind of, one popsicle stick equals 3 feet or something, or 1 foot, you know, whatever mm-hmm. measurement you want. Mm-hmm. And then I used to think, oh, I can remember what I plant here, here, and here. So I would put in my left pocket, I'd put, oh, here's my lettuces seeds. And over in my right pocket, there's my kale. Mm-hmm. And in my back left, my beet seed. But then I'd get them all confused, honestly. So I'm going to do better. I'm going to mark them in Braille. I mean, whatever, wherever you are as far as your ability to use different things. Maybe it's a texture. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have some Velcro you could glue on it, and like, these are my mm-hmm. lettuce seeds. Mm-hmm. Keeping track of it, I have not been that good, but I use the square foot garden method, so in the backyard. So mostly every area is like 1 square foot. So I will only plant, say, all my beets. I might use 2 or 3 squares, actually, because they're so good. And that's one thing that grows really good for me. But honestly, you can still forget. So it would be very useful for me, and maybe for some others, if you're planting a variety of things, to track it in some method. And I suspect you have been introduced to some of those methods during this workshop, which sounds like it's been wonderful. I mean, just the ability for you to reach out mm-hmm. and ask questions mm-hmm. and share different things. So the one other thing I guess I wanted to mention, this is not necessarily gardening, although if you find a gardener, they will not shut up. That is me. Like when I got invited to do this and I said, oh my gosh, my family will be so happy because I'm talking to you guys about gardening, and not to them all the time. about my gardening. But my mother is 96, and she is still living by herself. I mean, she can't really get down and garden or anything like that. But the thing that really concerns me, and this is very concerning with the blind community of Hull and seniors who are losing their vision, is the issue of loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I can't emphasize enough about our NFB family and how you don't have to be alone as you grow older. All my mom's friends have passed away, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, our family, and but it still would be nice for her to have other friends to talk to. And in the NFB, you will have that, like, these kinds of things ongoingly. I already called into one or two different things this week. The one in Minnesota earlier this week was on organizing and has all kinds of great tips. But you will find friends, and I just wanted to put that in so that people will understand that though you might feel alone, you don't have to feel totally that sense of loneliness when you are in a group like this. So I think that's all I really have planned to say, unless there's some other questions or comments.
This is Glenn Crosby. Diane, since you mentioned loneliness, I hope that everybody on the call has heard that loneliness has been declared a pandemic, an epidemic in this country. And certainly blind people, many blind people find themselves alone and they don't know anybody else. So the Federation is a wonderful connection for you. And you don't always have to connect just to talk about blindness things. You can find a few friends and make that connection. And you don't have to be alone, as Diane said. So I don't know if we have other questions or comments about the gardening or loneliness or what or anything else. We can take those at right now.
Does anybody want the floor? Just say your name and we'll recognize you.
Shelly.
Shelly, of course.
Hey, how are you? I wanted to compliment Diane. This is Shelly Koppel, and she's been a volunteer for us in other years with the Braille, teaching Braille, and I really have enjoyed your talk this afternoon. You do have a very easy way of communicating, and I really like that, and it's fun to kind of get to meet you a little bit.
Yeah,
so
thank you. Yeah, good to hear from you.
Yeah. Great. So
yeah, Shelly has done an hour presentation on organization a couple years ago with our Kansas NFB seniors. So we do different topics, and she was gracious enough one January. Let's kick this, kick off the year, thinking about getting your stuff in order. It's still a challenge, Shelly.
Oh, it always is. And I know one of the ladies that's on the Zoom, this retreat this week from our state in South Carolina, she's been listening, but she's asked me questions about gardening and stuff. So we may have to call on you again. But anyway.
Well, Shelly also did a segment this on Tuesday afternoon for us. So we're glad to, we appreciate both of you guys participating.
Oh, no problem.
Enjoyed it. Hey. Thank you for inviting me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Other questions or comments?
This is Karen Davis. I'm the lady from South Carolina. Maybe I'm a master gardener. I spoke to Shelly the other day about doing some information through the year this year, maybe some speaking about gardening. I just wanted to say to the lady we were just listening to, I didn't catch her name at the beginning, but I liked how you spoke. You were very slow and eloquent and very easy understanding. And a couple of things that I've learned as a master gardener when I lost my eyesight was that one of the biggest problems I had was falling over the beds. Even though I knew where they were at, I still would fall over them. So I did raise my beds up to be the 17-inch tall metal beds and grow bags. It made it so much easier. I do not fall now in the garden. So that would be for one person maybe that has that problem. The gentleman, Jim, that came in and was speaking about, I believe his name was Jim, for the brown leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's an information center called HGIC, Home Garden Information Center. It may be through the Clemson Extension University, but he can go on there and put the type of plant, and we'll give you a lot of problem solving that might could help him with that. And remember that most house plants will lose leaves, and a lot of times you over take care of them. So that might be a place for him to look to see what's wrong with his plant, if there is anything. And as far as marking the spaces, like where the bulbs was, a lot of times you can just get a bag of those river rocks and put the little river rocks and outline the area. So you'll remember that area is for bulbs. That's one of the ways. Like she said, there was so many different directions you can go with what you use to mark your areas too. And there's one last thing. There's a planter called a green stalk. It's about 5 foot tall and it has 5 tiers to it. And it's so easy to plant in and you don't have to worry about weeds. It spins. You water it from the top. It's so simple. I own about 7 of them now. I've gotten addicted to them. But that was, and if anybody has any questions too about gardening and stuff, I'll be happy to answer some of them at any time. You can get my personal telephone number if you want it, and be happy to help anybody else.
Thank you.
Now there's the master gardener. Wow. Oh gosh, that's impressive. We had a gentleman, master gardener, talking earlier this year, I think from either Texas or New Mexico.
He's from Texas. Yeah. He's from Texas.
Tony, I think. So yeah. A lot of people out there who love to talk about plants and working with plants and soil. Mm-hmm.
And like you were talking about it, people being, you know, lonely and stuff like that. Once you meet a gardener, if you'll listen to them talk, they will talk and talk. And I'm actually in the process of joining with Clemson University, hopefully, to work with the blind more with plants and gardening.
Good.
That is amazing. That's wonderful. I love it.
Yeah, this is Jim again. I would like to say, Diane, I'd like to echo what the others had said. You were so easy to listen to, and, you know, you had me captivated the whole talk that you gave. And you know, your experience really shows with, you know, planting and growing, you know, plants and vegetables in your garden. There's nothing better than a fresh tomato in your garden, you know. That's what I found.
Oh, my God.
And, but thank you so much for being a presenter on the call. You were really wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, by the way, I just finished. Right before the last hard freeze, I went out and picked all my green tomatoes, and I put them one layer high in different, you know, paper shopping bags, and folded down the top, and then I put them I have an enclosed porch, so it stays cooler out there, and it's dark, and I just finished up. They start ripening, by the way, when you do that kind of thing. You check them on every so often, and I used up my last tomatoes last week with my tacos. So, yeah, I mean, it's just been so fun and interesting to try different things to see how to grow them and how to store them and how to use them.
Well, keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks. I hope you all will try something if you haven't. Even the gal with the gangrene hands, I mean, it's okay. I've had so many failures. And, you know, I mean, I can see why people might want to give up. But on the other hand, maybe you just need to try something different. Try a different way, better soil.
This is Deborah.
Go ahead.
We did grow a square foot garden 1 year, except we didn't know any better not to plant cucumbers. You can't kill that stuff. And you can't find enough people on this earth to give them way to either, because they take over. They take over the world. I mean, people, everybody at work would like avoid me like a plague. After a while, I don't want any.
don't bring us
any more cucumbers.
I mean, that's exciting though that you got so many. Yeah, that's super. My husband, like I said, grew up on a farm, hundreds and hundreds of acres. So they had a very large kitchen garden. And this is right after we were newly married. We went out there and like, oh, my goodness. And they were just planting the garden. They had a lot of stuff out there. And I honestly have no idea how big it was, but it was pretty good sized. And his mother said, Dad, go get me some more tomato, a couple more tomato plants is what she said. So when he came home, he had 36. I thought, oh, I thought a couple was like two or three. But when you are canning and freezing and raising your own food, you know, a couple is like, I guess, several dozen.
Wow.
Well, it's a whole different way of thinking for your plants.
Well, and the other thing we tried, and this is even funnier, we bought a bunch of wild seed for blue bonnets and all kinds of wildflowers from Texas. And so we bought this big package of many years ago. And so we read the direction and said, well, just take the seeds and throw them out in the yard. Well, these wild birds kept coming and they ate up nearly all of those seeds. So we had like $35 worth of bird seed out there. And maybe two or three blue bonnets out of all that. And I thought, that's the next time I'm not reading the directions on that stuff.
Yeah, really. Oh, man.
This is Jerry. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I grew up in the same town. Well, actually, next door to where Janie grew up. And we had our garden in the back. And there was basil, or as we said, Bosnia gall, and tomato plants. And my job was to take the liquid, well, it wasn't liquid when it started, fertilizer. It was dry and we have water. And I had to put it around the tomato plants. And I said, how could this make the tomato plants taste so good? But I think it was Jim who said, we used to go out there and pluck one off, rub it against our shirt and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So and the basil, my mother would say, go out and pick a basil. And it had just rained. And you pick, there's nothing like that aroma of basil when it right off the plant, you know.
That is absolutely true. And then it smells so good.
And then we had what we the right of way for the high electrical wires, the high voltage, and there was a lot of spearmint there, a lot of mint, and mint just like takes over. But there's nothing like running through that. Such a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed your talk. I just want to know when we coming over to eat.
Anytime. I love to cook also. I it's funny because with all my kids and family, and I ran a business for 10 years, then I went to graduate school, then I worked for 20 years. I mean, I had to cook because I don't drive. I can't, and they didn't have like DoorDash or anything back in the day. Not that we could have afforded it with five of us. But, you know, I learned, I always cooked. Now I enjoy it more though. I mean, it's just, you know, I love, especially getting fresh vegetables and, you know, just using the few vegetables that I grow is so exciting. Like, you know, can't wait to have like mint in my water or, you know, basil stuck in a vase in my kitchen and, you know, this makes you feel good.
Other comments, questions?
Patrice raised her hand. Pat?
I want to comment that I enjoyed the talk today about the gardening. And I just want to put my two cents in because I'm a gardener too here in South Carolina. Like Karen in little containers and I ventured out this year and I planted more out on my property. My little niece, she's from North Carolina and she's only like five. And I got her to wanting to plant stuff when she goes home. Cause I did a lettuce garden this year. And she wanted to go out. Can we just go out and eat lettuce out of the garden? Lettuce out there. And now I have a bunch of onions and garlic that I'm waiting. Just want to put my two cents in.
Very good.
Other questions for Diane? Comments?
No hands are raised.
Well, as Diane pointed out early on, that, you know, if you have any interest, you can just get one small pot plant, maybe even indoors. You don't have to put it outdoors, but it does need to be put where it can get some light whether that's sunlight or some artificial light of some sort. But you can start small and get as involved as you want. But, you know, it can be a lot of fun. And again, it's a way to relax, and it's a way to be really happy when you actually are able to pick something out of your garden, whether it's a flower or a vegetable or an herb, and you have it, and you're almost always glad about it. It just gives you a feeling of gladness.
We have a raised hand.
Sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say indoor plants add oxygen to the air. I don't know if that was mentioned previously, which is good for mm-hmm. you.
It adds oxygen, and they also filter your air.
Okay.
So.
Very good.
Anyone else? Well, gosh, I guess we're done. We're a few minutes early, not a lot early, but we can call it an afternoon. And I want to thank you, Diane, for coming. And I want to thank all of our participants for hanging in with your comments and questions. So, Judy, with that, I suppose we can close it off for today and plan for tomorrow.
Before we do, would anyone like to hear the daily connection words with our last couple of minutes? Anybody interested?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Everybody listen, and I'll repeat what they say, but I raised the volume. I'm ready for this. Echo, play the daily connection.
Today's question is, which word connects to daddy and plum again?
Echo, stop.
Remember to come
back. Echo, stop. There, so the words are cube, C-U-B-E.
Right.
Daddy, D-A-D-D-Y, and plum, P-L-U-M.
Sugar.
Who said that?
Janie.
Okay, Janie. What? Sugar daddy, aww. Sugar.
Yeah.
Cheater, cheater.
I didn't cheat. I just.
You couldn't have done it that fast if you cheated.
That's cool.
I thought it was kumquat. Cool.
Why is it? I'm going to say it
so you can all hear the fanfare.
I started with ice cube. And then
Echo, play the daily connection.
Today's question is, which word connects?
Echo. Echo.
Is cute echo your final answer?
What? Echo? That's not your final answer. No. Is that your final answer? I want to phone a friend. Let me tell you. Oh, that's the wrong show.
No.
Getting ticked. Which? Go ahead.
Sugar. Yes. Oh, it did. Okay. Yep, we're right.
Yay! Woohoo! Okay. Woohoo is it?
That's right. So I want to thank everybody for another good day. And we have one full day left and then our farewell on Saturday. So we will end today and
thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate your participation. For more information, contact President Glenn Crosby at nfbseniors@gmail.com or call 443-681-9345. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.